Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
707 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. It's the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air has over 75 HVAC technicians. They always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Big guest list today, Ben Fredrickson and TJ Moe on the show. So, Doug, you'll be able to lock in.
Well, we'll talk a lot of grid, I would think, a lot of baseball. Wasn't it the best weekend we've ever had around in here?
Give me an example of why in 10 of them.
We got swept by the Cubs, looked horrendous against Purdue. The city's
depends how you
crumbling.
Look at it.
All that's happening. That wasn't the best weekend we've ever had. But there's always next weekend.
Let's talk about the 7 o'clock hour. The Design Air 7 o'clock hour.
That's right. Design Air Heating and Cooling. 75 locations to serve you. The number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
Of all the hours of this show, the 7 o'clock hour is certainly one of them. And I feel that this is going to be a special 7 o'clock hour. I just have, every once in a while, you just get that feeling, and it just seems like this is going to be a special 7 o'clock
hour. It's the earliest of our hours.
What a terrible weekend.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I saw considerable promise in the Mizzou performance.
There was somebody, I went and watched the entire post-game press conference with Barry Odom, who has 9 games left in his tenure. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that somebody about 5 questions deep asked the question, "Coach, what positives would you take from the game?"
Yeah, good try.
What did he say?
And he kind of mumbled something, but before Coach Odom could even begin to talk, I was already texting the colonel to ask who is that. And I don't think the colonel would mind me saying some S head, and that doesn't narrow it down.
An S head said that.
Now I'm doing Fox responsibilities, so I'm watching the Cardinal game in our well fortified studio, and so I put it on my phone because we have like 2 sports packages at Fox where you can call up almost any game. We couldn't get the Missouri game off the SEC network. I don't know why.
You missed a Jim Dandy.
But no, but I was able to get it on my phone. So by the time we tried to find it, couldn't, I had it on my phone, and I see Missouri's down, and I see, oh, there's a touchdown against Missouri called back. I was like, oh, and then I looked 5 seconds later, they scored again, and then on the next possession, I see a run right up the middle, and I said, oh, okay, maybe I'm not missing.
Missouri, no. Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh? What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh? No,
not really.
And I will say this, really. Doug, you talk about this all the time, and sometimes I don't give you enough respect. It's my fault. But I have it on my phone, so it's not really big. And at first, I couldn't identify which team was Missouri.
Yeah!
No, it's true.
Those uniforms are the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, but the recruits love them.
So much so that we didn't get one player from Missouri this thing. Now, that's how much they love them. They didn't get one player from Missouri.
It wasn't like an ongoing problem. I was soon able to figure out, okay, that's Missouri. But honestly, in the beginning, I was like, now, wait a minute.
Could have been Purdue. Either one could have been Missouri. Well, Purdue was Purdue.
They had the shiny helmets.
Right.
And then Missouri had the other thing where it looked like a sunburst.
Couldn't tell who they were.
on a phone, it looks like a sunburst on the helmet.
Missouri.
Okay. When you're playing a Purdue team that had lost something like 40 of its last 50 games on your home field, and they are taking it easy on you in the fourth quarter so as not to embarrass you, you got it bad, and that ain't good.
What about that run, that Purdue run, right up the middle? Right up the
middle. Hey, diddle-diddle, right up the middle. Well, our guys were set up in the wrong spot. How hard is it to get guys lined up in the right spot? How hard is it? Guys line up pretty much in the same spot.
And then the Cardinal said, here, hold my beer. See, that's a Twitter thing.
Yeah, I know. Mm. And then, but
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
You're very breathy.
I am not okay. I was thinking how this Missouri State team ran up and down the field against Missouri. The next week, Missouri State went to North Dakota and got shut out 34-0.
Yeah, but
that's what North Dakota did to Missouri State.
Yeah, but North Dakota has a really good D. They got guys up front.
It's North Dakota State that wins all the time.
Sorry, I'm not that familiar with the Dakotas.
North Dakota is the weak sister of the state.
Your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255 is how you can get involved in the radio program. Also, another positive from the weekend. Coach, what positives did you see from the game? Just lost to Purdue. That's one of the worst Missouri losses of my lifetime. I realize you'll always have the Norman Conquest and the Texas A&M thing, and I'm going back to the 90s. There had to be some great ones from the 1980s when Dr. Tom Osborne needed to get a few more AP votes and really put it to them. But when you're losing to Purdue 35-3 on your home field as a 7.5-point favorite, by the way, when they were losing to Oklahoma and Nebraska, they were like 35-point underdogs. And the place was empty at the start, and it was a perfect day, and it was beyond empty by the second half.
They were flooding out of the exits. It looked like they left the doors open at Sing Sing.
Somehow, I mean, I realize there's never really any organization to the program, so I shouldn't give it too much credence. But I don't feel like around town there is as much despair regarding the Cardinals, not because people aren't upset about it, I suppose, but because the Cardinals just got swept, most likely eliminated from the National League Central, and I feel like it somewhat flew under the radar, relatively speaking, to what normal Cardinal playoff series in September when you're three games out from the division leader kind of reaction would get. And the games were close, by the way.
I think folks have seen the lack of some fundamental with the Cardinals game than some awful baseball along the way. But you think about it, you go to Wrigley, you're playing good baseball, you're three out. Yeah, I was excited that they could get something done and that maybe we'd see them make their move. That was really, really disappointing.
Thought the pitching was lined up pretty well to have a shot to take two out of three, maybe. Didn't hit anything. The Cubs, second half of the season, have been the Cubs of last year. Only Cleveland has a better record in all of major leagues than the Cubs since the All-Star break. So they've turned it on here.
And the Cardinals were playing very well going into it. So I thought they had a shot. That's all you can ask for is to have your shot, and they didn't get it done. Very disappointing.
I don't know if it was quite as disappointing as it's been in recent years because we've maybe been sort of resigned to the fact that this isn't a championship-caliber club. It's probably not going to happen this year, and it just kind of was the last straw this weekend, I think. I don't know how they do it now.
Some people texting in who were at the series in Chicago went to Wrigley this weekend. My favorite part is taking a wee-wee in the trough, then locking eyes with the gentleman across the wall from me who's also touching his soft cow.
And you got some splashing going on there. You're too close, and there's splashing coming off.
Not really any thoughts on Rizzo and the hit by pitch, but yeah, kind of a good anecdote.
Yeah. Well, that'll stay with you longer than Rizzo.
Now, when you're doing a post-game show on Fox Sports Midwest, you showed Dexter Fowler's homer a lot.
Yeah. Probably might have been the only highlight you had.
And I said on the show, I said, if you didn't see the game, you might think Dexter Fowler homered five times in the game. No, after a loss like that, we're just going to show it a little.
He almost did there in the ninth. It looked like Wade Davis thought it was a home run.
I absolutely thought that was a home run off the bat. Now, I remember about a few pitches earlier, who was on the game with Dan? Was it McCarver?
Tim McCarver.
McCarver had pointed out that the wind was coming in. And on a day where either the wind was not coming in or, of course, if the wind was blowing out, that ball's gone.
Agreed.
I thought it was gone. I absolutely thought it was gone.
It looked like it got totally knocked down by the wind, and that can happen.
And if it's gone and they win that game at four out with 13 to play and four against the Cubs, you're still thinking, well, maybe. With six out, you're going, it's not going to happen.
4.5 out of the wild card, by the way.
Yeah. They're going to have to sweep the Reds and maybe the Pirates, too.
McCarver said it in his last post-game hit. He said, you got to run the table.
Yeah. You almost would have to. Almost. If you figure, what, if Colorado goes 500, you're going to have to, if they went 7-7, you'd have to go, you know, 11-4.
You can't even think about it. You have to win every game and then see where you are. That's a shame.
The Michael, offense, would you say an outstanding job from Luke today?
Outstanding job from Luke.
Oh, I like
courtesy
that
courtesy of Chris Gardner. Yeah,
where
we didn't use it.
Been?
We didn't use it Friday, so I thought I'd pepper that in during Cardinal discussion today.
Well then, plow red.
And you think about covering the team at Wrigley with the visitors clubhouse. I know a lot has been made about it, but it is by far the smallest. I mean, it is. And then you have call ups in there, and then you have a team getting swept away. That is not a good place to be up in there. But to his credit, Lance gave a semi-legitimate post-game scrum session.
I can't believe that the players' union doesn't say something about the locker rooms. I've not been in it, but all I hear is how
you've never been in it? It truly is like a high school, like Norman Dale and the boys from Hoosiers or Hickory High are about to take the floor in Hoosiers.
So
that's
there,
what it's like at Wrigley Field.
To paint a picture, there is, and this is not.
It's only the visitors' clubhouse.
Because the other one they redid several times. Like the home clubhouse is a palace. I mean, it is high tech. There's more room than, you know, you could fit five teams in there. In the visitors, there's not enough room for the players. So you imagine you throw in 25 media guys, three of which will ask questions, just standing around in there. It's awful. And then if you had a player who didn't have a good performance, say like a Chris Carpenter that you're waiting, there's a lot of other places you'd rather be.
Well, if that's
Iggy
what,
said it was fine, though.
If that's what they're going to do, if the Cubs have this wonderful new clubhouse for themselves and they're doing that to the visiting team, when the Cubs come to St. Louis, they had a lock the current visitors' clubhouse and put them in some other clothes closet down the hallway. Say here we'll do the same thing to you.
So I should have done that when I was at Wrigley last time.
I'm saying you shouldn't have done that. I'm saying the Cardinals should do that, and every other team should do that. The Cubs, you don't have the facility. We don't have the facilities we need. We're not going to give them to you when you come to our parks. That would get them to do something, I would think.
I remember
it's not impossible in 2017 to construct a bigger clubhouse. It just isn't.
Can I share a memory?
Yes.
This is one of my Wrigley memories. So Chris Carpenter had a start that wasn't that great. There's nowhere to interview him, so he sits on an exercise bike. And he's being fairly cordial, but you could see, you know, he's bothered, whatever. And so I'm holding the mic. We're asking him questions about five reporters. Nowhere to go. You're cramped in there. And he's on an exercise bike. Not exercising, but nowhere else to go. And I hear as it's second question, and I hear, move the mic closer. What? My camera guy was yelling, and the mic was close to Chris. You don't want to put it in Chris Carpenter's nose.
No.
Not Chris Carpenter.
Alex Steen will swat him away.
And so he said, I was like, please don't be my camera guy. Please don't be my camera. Yep, it was him. And he goes, closer.
Mm.
And then Carpenter stops, and he looks at me.
Mm.
Ugh. And then I was like, so sometimes you have to pretend like this isn't happening just for your own psyche.
Right.
And so I just asked another question. I hear, closer! And I had to stop and go, would you stop, sir? This is as close as I'm going to hold the mic. And then the next day I made Chris Carpenter go up and yell at the camera guy.
Yeah, man.
Well, if you got a mic that's 8 to 10 inches away from the guy and it's not picking him up, then he needs to turn up his levels.
It wasn't 8 to 10, Doug. You've seen my mic position. I take pride in that mic position.
3 or 4 inches away.
Yeah,
that's close enough.
Proper mic position.
Yeah, that's close enough. If you're not picking it up at that level, then you're never going to get it.
Guys, it was one of the worst weekends in St. Louis history. Cards fold like a cheap tent. Mizzou sucks. Royal big time. And riots. Nice. Thanks. That's from the 314.
At least we had a couple of nice concerts.
I was looking forward to Ed Sheeran.
Yep.
You don't like Ed Sheeran?
I really don't. I mean, he seems like a fine fellow, but if his music comes on, it's an instant change. Like, I get it. Like if somebody has one of those alarms to start their commercial, which I thought the FCC was doing something about, but I guess it's back, I immediately switch it. If just I hear, what is it, Doug? Shape of You, is that one? Castle on a Hill?
I don't know the name of his song.
Photograph.
What's Shape of You?
Oh, God, no. I can't. Plowboy, I can't, but I'm going to have to take my headphones off.
Have that Plowboy.
Great sexual is this magical place to me that's between asexual and someone who's sexual.
All right, that's Ed Sheeran.
He was awful in Game of Thrones, too, by the way. Why even put him on there to sing a song while they're sitting around a fire on Game of Thrones?
Doug, would you like to answer that?
Was he some troubadour?
No, he was sitting there as like one of the soldiers singing a song, and Arya Stark comes up. She goes, I never heard that one. That's a new one. What? That's just trying to plug Ed Sheeran and his new music into Game of Thrones.
I'm a little sideways with Iggy this morning.
Well, maybe this shape of you will change things. The club isn't the best place to find the lovers. The
bar is where I go. Me and my friends. I can see him on Game of Thrones. If you can get a gig on Game of Thrones singing a song, you got a really good agent. Trust me and trust me, I'll give
it a chance. Pot it up over Doug. Stop and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Was handmade for somebody like me. Coming now, follow
kind of like it.
I didn't know who he was when the concert was canceled, so my wife Googled a picture. You know him. And I was like, is that Ralph Mouth? I've heard this song, but I didn't know his. But apparently he's pretty popular, right?
Oh, super popular.
Big. Yeah. Oof. We shut it down. We shut that U2 down.
I saw a headline
closed it, though.
This morning, and I'm not going to name the television station out of respect for my peers here in the Gateway Buick GMC studios, but the headline, the graphic, the super, as we call it in the business, was mostly peaceful protest this weekend in St. Louis. I mean, what kind of BS spin is that?
You have to say mostly peaceful. You have to, even if they're not, you're required as the media to say mostly peaceful.
Yeah.
They got a guard for us at our studio.
Is that right?
Because it was uncertain what it was going to be, and Iggy...
Was Ballpark Village shut down?
Yeah. No. Well, the first day, the museum and Cardinal Nation, the restaurant and the store was shut down. But then it was open because during the day, it was peaceful during the day. The trouble started at night, and there was no one. The funny thing was, Tim, on the first day of the protest, it was an afternoon game Friday, and no one was there because I guess everyone was concerned about what was going to happen. No one really knew. Except for the folks from Arkansas and Iowa that wanted to come to Ballpark Village, walked in and they looked around. You could see they were like, "How we got lucky? It's not crowded today." But yeah, well, thankfully,
those
there were
type
no
of
issues.
People won't be back.
Yeah. But there were no issues. That people, you know, life went on. You know, at Ballpark Village anyway.
Perception is more important than the reality in a case like that. When you're in another city around the Midwest, thinking, "I wonder if we should go take in the Cardinals." It's not.
The daytime protests were peaceful, and when nighttime came, that's when there were problems, right? There were no real issues with the daytime protests, correct?
Well, they shut down some stores at West County Mall. You'd think there was an issue there. You would think there was an issue.
But that doesn't
if you
make
a business
violent,
in the loop.
The stuff overnight. I mean, I'm sad for the city, and I get it that protests are that's what this country's founded on. I'm for it. I just the damage, and you don't want to see anyone hurt. There were some injuries.
Yeah.
With the
why
police.
Are you going to protest against restaurants in the loop throwing? Of course, you know, it doesn't take but one or two idiots throwing bricks through windows to make it seem like this is an enormous uprising. I mean, there's a lot of people out there marching, but I assume there's only a handful of them actually doing the damage.
The stuff I was following with the loop protest, it seemed organized and peaceful, and they sat down up until, you know, that part disbanded and people stayed, and then there was some chaos.
Yeah.
Dan Gray of Fox 2 was on the receiving end of a...
Right, I saw that. Some guy was in his face, threatened to do him harm. Like, he caused it. Dan Gray was the cause of
it. Oh, really? What did he do?
I don't know. Apparently, you have to talk to that protester. He's under the impression that Dan Gray is at the root of all this.
That's happened to me when I'm leaving the studio. Sometimes there'll be a protester and they'll say, "You're going to take Tyler Lyons out of that game," and they're right in my face.
Yeah.
"You're going to take Tyler Lyons out of that game?"
Right.
"I'm not the manager, sir."
I think I saw our friend of the show, Mike Falk, was caught up in a scrum where they arrested a bunch of people, and he got arrested, I think. He was doing nothing, but he was just in the wrong place, and they just rounded them all up into the paddy wagon, and he was one of them.
Well, that's a sign that you're best off not to go anywhere near it. Just don't get anywhere close to it. Don't go and watch. Don't go just to take pictures. Just don't go close to it.
Well, if you have a job, you're a reporter, you got to go, right?
Yeah, maybe. But if you're not, if you're not in that capacity, don't even be a part of it.
Yeah, sad.
Tom Schmidt, Salt and Smoke, he got hit.
Sure. Well, it's pretty much Schmidt and Dan Gray that are at the root of all this.
Thank you for saying it.
Yeah, if you're going to take it out on anybody, those are the two that you were going to pinpoint, I would think.
Well, you go, who's got the best brisket? Get that guy.
Get him.
Doug, would you not call the dumping of millions of dollars worth of tea a non-destructive protest?
Did I even bring up the Boston Tea Party?
Was I in denial of any of that?
I think you brought it up in the show prep meeting.
I said this country was based on protest. No one disagreed with me, so to say Doug was anti-Tea Party would be incorrect.
Right.
Well, this is not necessarily the wing of the Republican Party. This is actually the Boston Tea Party from Lowe so many years ago. And you've had a problem with that for a while.
With the Boston Tea Party? I don't really think about it a whole lot. I know they were really hopping mad about taxes.
What a simpler world. Think about it. They were mad about tea taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. And another country. They weren't taking it out on fellow Americans.
They say he's even popular in Europe.
They weren't destroying their own neighborhoods.
Man, yeah, but I bet the founding fathers would have had a lot of Twitter followers.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have. Oh, yeah.
But also, there was a lot of tea wasted, and there were people that wanted their afternoon tea that couldn't get it based on the wasting.
Doug, if the media stops covering this nonsense, it will stop. Thanks, Jim 618.
I don't think it would stop, no. You could listen to arguments about them fanning the flames with coverage from people who just want to be on TV. You could make that argument, maybe, but I don't think it would stop completely. In fact, some of the people who are doing the damage, the last thing they want to do is be covered on television and be seen doing this. That's why they attack some of the media people. People don't necessarily want to be on camera committing crimes.
Well, better days ahead for St. Louis. I give St. Louis a spirit win for this weekend.
Yeah, Blues have an exhibition game tomorrow.
Right. Well, they lost a player this weekend, too. Sanford got hurt.
Still exhibition.
But we'll pull ourselves up by those bootstraps.
Be fun to see Auburn come to Fro.
No, it won't.
20 points was the number. It's down to 18.
This next weekend.
Some whale in Vegas is moving it down before he then puts a bigger bet on Auburn. That's what's going on out there.
Do you think, and Tim, you're closer to this, and Doug is a true son, though he loves Kansas. So you guys have more of an emotional investment. I don't consider myself prisoner of the moment, you know, unless the Cardinals actually win the one game in the middle of a six-game losing streak, in all fairness. But it's so bad in Missouri, I wouldn't say coach got to go. He's obviously, you know, a brand new coach. Do you think there's any thinking that maybe that is the move? Or is that just...
That he is going to be let go or to let him go now?
If it continues like a couple of games, three or four games like this.
The tough thing for Missouri, well, he's... Right now, I'd be shocked if Barry Odom's the head coach next year.
But it's middle of the season.
But I don't think that they would do it in the middle of the year. But just if you take a step back, there are a few issues that are, you know, big problems here outside of what we've already seen, and that is, you know, it's 1-2 right now. The one coming against Missouri State,
tough club,
and you were nearly losing at the half against Missouri State. But then you have Auburn. Kentucky looked good against South Carolina on Saturday night. That was at Williams-Brice. Granted, Debo Samuel's loss for the year. That's a bet. I mean, whatever. People are monitoring South Carolina, especially players, but Debo Samuel's a hell of a football player. To break his leg, you know, a few games into the season is brutal. And Kentucky gets the win there. Then you're at Georgia.
That'll be a W.
The point is that, barring a huge surprise, Barry Odom's 1-5, you know, six games into his second year. Then you got a couple big games, and this is what the SEC likes when you can schedule Idaho in the third weekend of October and then follow that up with a trip to Storrs, Connecticut.
Right. Long-time rivals, both of those schools.
Right. Those Huskies got a heck of a squad.
Well, you know, you talk about Jimmy Calhoun and the job he's doing right now. So ideally you win both those. I wouldn't call either one a lock at this point.
You can't play anyone and think that it's
right.
A lock.
That's my point. If you lose
to one of those, right. And you have
well, it's already there. And then because now it's not just
it's a different world than when Woody Woodenhofer was dicking around for a few years and Bob Stoll was dicking around for a few years. And even Larry Smith, who did turn it around, and it kind of flies under the radar in 97 and 98. I'm not sure if Larry Smith were the coach in 2017 if he would have gotten to 97, because he had 94, 95, 96 first. And that's not usually the way it works right now. And I do think that's a mistake at times to not give coaches more leeway. But when you have this, you know, it's one thing if you're losing and it's close. This was an absolute abomination from the get-go. And, you know, for those of us, and it's not like it's a lot of people, which is another issue, who have watched the first three games, but just in this case, the first two games, it's like, yeah, okay, Missouri's minus 7.5. Somebody in Las Vegas just isn't paying attention. There's no way that you could have watched Louisville-Purdue and then Purdue-Ohio and Missouri-Missouri State, Missouri-South Carolina, and said Missouri's a 7.5-point favorite.
Maybe you're not watching the Missouri punting game. This guy can kick.
Yeah, and celebrate like he, you know. What was that?
Got a golf swing.
Golf swing when they're down 35-3.
That's today's youth, Tim.
So you finish off the season with Florida and Tennessee back to back. Vanderbilt just won against Kansas State. We'll see what happens this weekend. I'm kind of intrigued to see what happens in Nashville this weekend. They host Alabama, and even though I recognize, you know, it's Vanderbilt against Alabama, usually the two absolute opposite ends of the spectrum in the SEC, although Missouri now would be the absolute opposite end of the spectrum, I could see that thing being closer than the 19 points it started out at. And then you finish at Arkansas. Point being, if Missouri wins three games at this point in 2017, that's about, I think, the ceiling. They would have to pull off some kind of monster upset or one of these teams. You know, if you got South Carolina now versus when they came to town last week, losing their best player, maybe that changes things enough for Missouri to be competitive. But the issue is, and Ben Fredrickson, who will join us at 8 o'clock, spoke to this, it looked like they quit. You know, I mean, Drew Locke was abandoning ship at the same time. He didn't have a whole lot of time to try and operate the ship. And then Purdue, as you made reference to, the cat took their foot off the pedal, which is Purdue took their foot off the pedal at Columbia, Missouri, so as to not run up the score. Those are words that are usually said in the 1980s or early 1990s, and that's where it is.
Well, if the Cardinals are ready to soar, this Tiger defense is ready to roar. I don't think you've seen the best of them yet.
There's a promo.
It's pretty hard not to draw the comparisons now and call Barry Odom Kim Anderson 0.2. It's pretty hard not to draw the comparisons. You meant
2.0.
Whatever, 0.2, whatever. Another Kim Anderson. Very popular guy at the school, in the state, star player for the school, highly successful as an assistant coach. Anderson is a head coach at the Division II level. Everybody wanted him and made sense at the time. And now you've lost the fan base. You've got a team that isn't competitive. You can't recruit. You can't recruit in the state. It's the same thing. It's hard not to see that it's the same thing we just went through with basketball.
It's hard to stop a train.
Ooh, Design Air, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. Doug, they're the number one train dealer in the Midwest. They're online at designairservice.com. The cat's a client. I'm a client. Doug's a client.
Big it's time client here. Cool.
Yeah, big and a very happy client.
Oh, man, did they do a job on my house. Yeah. I mean, I was always hot on the second floor. I had the thermostat down to 65, sometimes 66, still be hot. Design Air came in, put a new blower in the furnace, and they forced more air into the second story. And I don't, now we're, the thermostat is like 71, 72.
Hot, to
never,
me, you're
never
still
even
hot.
Think about it anymore. It's really amazing what they did in my house.
Yeah, it's important to have your furnace checked in addition to, of course, your air conditioning when it's warm, now that it's going to start cooling down, which sucks. Design Air can come by and have your furnace checked for you. They've been serving St. Louis since 1904. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owners. Design Air technicians don't work on commission, and they provide fast and friendly maintenance or emergency service. Doug the Cat and I are Design Air customers. 314-739-1600. That's 314-739-1600 or online at designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. So we appreciate their sponsorship here. We will be at Hot Shots for TMA Live on Thursday. Bud Select is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and they're the sponsor of TMA Lives. And Iggy, what you have a big? We had six Cardinal tickets or something like six sets of Cardinal tickets for FFF.
Yeah, same as last time. And last time they came out of the woodwork. We had I think 7-8 participants. I don't know if people.
It was very hot too. It was a very hot segment.
It was, and I don't know if people really want the Cardinal tickets now.
They want those ducats.
Maybe Missouri, Idaho would lure some people into
or Connecticut.
Hot shots to yeah.
We
well, that's
send them up there.
That's a trip to stores, Doug. Wouldn't you like to go to stores?
Yeah, boy. It's just
it's not a bad drive.
The tradition. It's almost more than I could handle emotionally.
So I've reached out to Selena Ford to see if maybe the Sinners and Selena want to come out.
Doug, do you know Selena and the Sinners?
Selena Gomez.
Ford. I just had a kidney transplant.
Lita Ford.
Oh yeah, Rico's too.
maybe a long lost relative there. I don't know, but
right.
Reached out to Selena. Maybe her and some of the Sinners can come. And
wow, can you even imagine?
No, I can't.
No.
That's this Thursday at Hot Shots on Dorset. Come on by. The water is... Hold on.
It's warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the water's warm.
My bookie is the place to go and wager. I can't recommend it enough. Not only do I have problems on Bovada getting my money because the checks come from interesting lands over near the Pacific Rim, as a matter of fact. That's where they come
North
from.
Korea?
Nope, not Pyongyang, but near, nigh.
South Korea?
Nigh.
Malaysia.
Japan?
Malaysia.
That's right. Yeah, it's Bank of Ladyboy.
Yeah, Thailand?
My bank doesn't take them. You can wager on mybookie.ag, but outside of it, the old site that I used to use, the site doesn't work. Like, I'm trying to put live bets in, and then it freezes, and then I can't get my bets in. Drives me up the wall. So go to mybookie.ag. That's the place to go. Live betting is, for my money, the move. Although, man, let me tell you something.
What?
I took the high hard one on Saturday, and I mean I took it good.
Who?
Oh, boy. I got up. Well, I got up a variety of times, but then we wound up sleeping past 11 because we were up a variety of times with Jameson. And so I got up after 11 o'clock, and then I live bet Oklahoma State, and I got them at just a half point for where they didn't cover. So that sucked. My lock of the week finally lost. Ole Miss Cal over. Never even got close to covering. Got shipped on that.
Chantilly's covered. That's
Coastal Carolina.
My, that's why you take my
Justin Johnson.
Locks of the week. Never miss them. 87 straight weeks.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Jim Tennessee.
No, I didn't. I bet Florida straight up, so the points didn't matter. But if you had Florida -5, oh, my God. And if you had Tennessee +5, oh, my God. With that Hail Mary. Take a listen to this. The Plowhawk has the audio for you, Doug. It was on.
I watched it live. Yeah, go ahead and hit the lever, Plowsy.
Snap to Franks. Franks dropping back, stepping up, running the ball, looking. He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. Tyree Cleveland. Oh, my. I can't believe what I just saw.
Oh,
the Gators have won the ball.
You have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I swear, all right, thank you. I swear that the guy from Byerly laughs at one point in that spot. Can I
hear
that? Because I don't know why we dubbed that in, but Doug, if you take a listen.
All right.
It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. Tyreek.
Right there.
What makes you think that's Russ Patton?
That's him right there. He's talking about Rosanante.
It's a game. Tyreek.
See, the problem is, in a big moment, the deal is that the color guy needs to stand down and let the play-by-play guy capture the moment. Then usually, if it is a big moment, you lay out, let the crowd noise fill. You don't have to say as much.
Mm-hmm.
But those analysts, they love to chime in. They do love to chime in.
I just wish Rondo was still doing videos.
Oh, my God.
I hope those weren't the fittest videos.
Yes. Do we still have his number? Nurse? Nancy?
I had his old number.
He had to change his number from somebody stations calling him?
I think he did change it because one time we tried and it was not Rondo. Mm. But I think Seymour obviously is up to date with Rondo.
Who's our friend from Mississippi State? He had a big weekend,
yes,
too.
Yes, he did. But everybody was saying take LSU, so I didn't bet it. But I really liked Mississippi State. Getting 7.5 at home?
Yeah, and they won big, didn't they?
Give me just 1 second. Let me look.
There he is.
I'd love to get Stingray.
Stingray, that's right.
Steve Ray to you.
Oh, he had a big weekend for himself.
Yeah, anyway, it got shipped.
I enjoyed watching the USC-Texas game. That was a good game.
Bet the over on that. Got shipped.
And what I really enjoyed was the fact that they had more than 85,000 fans at that game at the Coliseum, more than the Rams and Chargers drew yesterday combined for their home games in
Frank,
Los Angeles.
How are you today?
I don't ever want to hear that voice again, Blousy. The Chargers could not.
Job,
the Chargers could not sell out their 27,000 seat soccer stadium in their home opener.
So what?
Couldn't do it.
They had a great win.
Well, what in the world was the league thinking, moving the Chargers to Los Angeles?
My porn star buddy is out in L.A. He's moved out there.
I'm a big fan of that guy. He's a great follow on Twitter.
He is really funny. Some of it is a little weird.
No, you got to follow him.
No, I don't need to.
He's great. But so he moved out there about 8 months ago, and he's told me that the L.A. Chargers scene will be an absolute disaster. He said the Rams are picking up a little steam, and they're a little bit more talented, too. And they have some big-name players like Goff and Gurley, so they'll be fine. But he said the Charger, there's nobody caring about that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't necessarily at this point call Jared Goff or Todd Gurley.
Well,
they have name recognition. Yeah. I think the Chargers may be a better team than the Rams. I realize they're 0-2, but one of my plays yesterday was the Rams over with the Redskins. I barely covered. And so it's a different world when you don't get to play the Colts and have Scott Tolzien throwing balls directly to your defense for pick sixes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but there was a column. This guy, Vinny Bonsignore, we had him on, I think, once.
Right. The Rams whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm trying to find the column because I know it's on the OC Register. But I can't. Somebody tweeted it at me. It was pretty good entertainment. And then I posted it on the fan pin. But his whole point was the empty seats aren't an illustration that people aren't interested in football in Los Angeles. I don't know what.
Well, I mean, the USC thing might bolster his argument. They like football. They just hate the Rams. They don't like what they see when they watch the Rams play football.
Prices
are so damn high that the people aren't going to pay it.
Look, I'm as turned off by the Rams as anyone else. I can't even watch football now anyway. But I will say, tweeting of, an empty stadium, we're saying, they have a lot of money invested. They have a new stadium coming. It likely will turn around. As bad as these guys that run the organization are,
I understand that. The thing that pisses me off is for the first 3 or 4 years post the Jeff Fisher press conference when you had to have your head up your ass if you weren't hip to the idea that the Rams may be leaving. Because as we've revisited on the show a number of times, the first thing we discussed following that Jeff Fisher press conference, which was the last time the Steamer spoke in St. Louis publicly, was, the Rams are moving. Yeah. That was January 2012.
Agreed.
So there were a few years of, I don't know. Either people had their head up their ass or they were being dishonest.
Or just hoping for the best.
Whatever the case might be. But nonetheless, you had that going on while anytime the Rams would have a home game, they would show empty seats. And then it fueled a national narrative that St. Louis was full of bad football fans. So had that not happened, I wouldn't take the joy, and I don't even know if I would call it taking joy in it. I just want to present this side. They started it. They tried to present a narrative that St. Louis was full of bad football fans without expounding on what was actually going on here. A, how crappy it was on the field, and more importantly, B, how the city was not able to get anything accomplished with the Rams, and therefore fans understandably didn't want to spend their dollars there, and then they would pan and show the empty seats. So if you're going to do it then, and if it counts then it counts now. But now, Vinny Bonsignore says, at some point, someone will innocently take a crowd shot picture, as is the norm across the sports world these days, and that photo will get shared on social media, and attendance geeks from one end of the country to the other will begin what's become a weekly debate 10 weekends a year. See, LA doesn't care about the Rams and the NFL, but the fingers lack nuance, perspective, or context. I agree with that, just like they did 5 years ago. And just like they did 2 years ago. But now, because it's inconvenient for Los Angeles, now it doesn't count. And that's BS. And that's my premise. So,
I agree with all that. I'm just saying that I do believe at some point it's bound to turn around. And then, it's like, okay, then the Rams fans will show full stadium, they'll win games, and I don't even care. But, you know, if you're going to – I don't want to set myself up for that. That's all I'm saying. I get why people do it, and I'm as angry as anyone else. But I do think at some point it'll be turned around, then I have to look at pictures of a brand-new stadium full or when they possibly pull it together and win games and look at those tweets where, you know, where the St. Louis Ram haters now. I don't – you know, that's why I don't take that much joy in it. Because time is on their side, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, they're not going anywhere now. Yeah. They got all kinds of time to wait it out until they are good. I can't imagine with that management team that they'll be really good anytime soon. They'll have a full stadium for a year or two as everybody goes and takes a look at it. But if you continue to play the brand of football that they've played for the last 10 or 12 years, the fans will die out.
And the truth is...
It's a bad division. They might be able to scrape some wins together.
But to say, it lacks context, the picture. No, you have a new team going to a city that, you know, they played in before. You'd think there would be excitement over it. Now's the time you would think there would be excitement, and there isn't.
We sold out every game here for the first few years, and the Rams were still terrible.
This is the time where they should be, you know, rallying support, and maybe they'll overlook some bad play in the early going. And they're not, because the truth is they're not great NFL fans in L.A. We've seen that before. Mm-hmm. Will they turn around? Maybe down the road, but right now, it is what it is.
And I can't blame it. Hell, if I lived in like Indianapolis, I'm not sure I'd want to go to a game, much less if I live in L.A. And all the options you have to entertain yourself on a weekend as opposed to sit at an effing NFL game.
Yeah, you could go to
Roscoe's. But the problem is the way that St. Louis was portrayed on the way out and by the media because it was convenient. And understandably, I've said this before. I know that it's the way it works. It's not for everyone. But I know if you have a choice, and hell, I'm sure plenty of St. Louisans listening, if you have a choice of going to a game in L.A. or going to a game in St. Louis, what are you going to take? You can say that about damn near every city. And so it was convenient to advance what was a selfish narrative nationally to have the Rams go back to Los Angeles. But the byproduct was crapping on the city of St. Louis and the loyalty of the football fans. And that is why it pisses me off. And so it's an inconvenient narrative that we have to present that even in year two, they're not showing up following a 40-point win.
I just know that I used to like watching NFL football, and once baseball's over, I have a little more time where I can do that, and I was looking forward to sitting there on the couch with the kid and watching Rams football. I mean, that to me, that's the thing that I've been deprived of, and me personally, that's why I hate the NFL.
I really think if I didn't have fantasy football teams, I don't think there's a game I would have watched at all.
And on the other side, outside of betting on college football, and it's really not that, like, life or death stuff there, it's just kind of entertaining myself. I enjoy watching college football all day. The NFL's like, I gotta watch it. But I've got so many damn DraftKings teams, I'll watch it. You know? That's kind of where I am. And hey, I never finished the MyBookie read. So it's mybookie.ag. We make picks, you make money, except not this weekend. Lay down some cash and win big today. Make your way to MyBookie. You win and they pay fast. MyBookie.ag offers in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Hey, Tom Schmidt of Salt and Smoke is on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
There he is. Where's .ag? Is that like Antigua?
Doug, where is you have you have a few domains there.
I've never heard of .ag.
No, you opened up Boy Whore. .ag.
I don't know what it means.
What
Tom.
Is that website?
Boy Whore. H-O-R-R-O-R.
.ag.
Yep. Tom, how are you doing after this weekend? I wanted to talk to you and see what the word is.
Yeah. I'm doing good. You know, Saturday night wasn't what anybody wanted to happen, but man, it's crazy. Like I was at home in bed because we have a 4-day-old kid at that point. And Haley, my pit master, gives me a call about the windows getting broken, and so I go down there. And by about 11:30, there were like over 100 volunteers from just people that all the roads were blocked off, so they had to just be people that live close enough to walk that brought like brooms and dustpans from their kitchens and. We had everything boarded up and all the glass cleaned up, you know, by 1, and I got there at 11:30. It was incredible. So, you know, the vandalism was really disheartening, but the outpour of support, if that hadn't been there, I'd probably be kind of down in the dumps, but feel good about, like, all the positive stuff that came. came about.
God bless America.
It's unbelievable.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's about, community, too. It's a community pulling together and take care of their own. God bless. I like that.
So what
yeah.
do you do?
No,
you,
I mean,
you board up the windows and get stay right back in business?
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, it happened after we were closed, so there weren't any customers around or anything. And so happened after we closed, and we just opened at 11 a.m. the next day. And this local artist had, like, set up shop at 8 a.m. and was painting all the plywood. Kind of a known local artist named Andy Cross, and he did this big mural in the front of our building, and it's pretty cool. That part's pretty cool. So yeah, we didn't miss a beat, and then we were packed all day from open to close. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's good. I hope more people do that when they see that some of these people want to damage the businesses of innocent people. I hope other people will see that and say, you know what, let's go support those people that were the victims of this crazy violence.
It sure seems to be the intention. Everybody, no, I don't think there was really too many people that just happened upon us for lunch yesterday. It seemed everybody was there kind of like with the purpose to come out and support and let everybody know it's okay.
If I were in charge of law enforcement, one of the things I would say is, you know, as you lay out your priorities, I would protect the brisket. Protect the brisket.
Brisket first. Brisket first.
It is the finest brisket in the greater St. Louis area proper. God bless you.
I mean, I think on all sides, on many sides, brisket is kind of unattacked territory, for sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Nobody's going after that.
Right. Brisket is our underrated little friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Right. That's what I describe the plow hawk.
I would also protect the deviled eggs because those things are great, too.
Tom, we'll people keep texting in when the Hampton location is opening, and I know what it's like, and I don't even have operational involvement with our patio here, and sometimes things are out of your control, and I'm sure you're dealing with that and don't want to.
Do we have the same contractor?
It might be that we have the same contractor. Yes. I know the feeling. But people are asking when the Hampton location is opening, so I will be the middleman and represent those who are wanting to support the new location on Hampton.
I mean, I feel bad saying any time because I've just been spewing lies about it for so long unintentionally.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about our patio at Kirkwood Brew House. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, but I, you know, Monday through Friday of last week, there were about 20 guys on site the entire week, really knocking some stuff out. I was like, that's great that you're there, but, you know, we signed this contract back in February, so we could have started doing that 6 months ago, but I'm glad they're there now. So we're in kind of the finishing stages of, you know, 3 weeks maybe.
Doug, 3 weeks.
4 weeks, hopefully. Yeah.
So the Cardinals and Dodgers and NLCS.
Do you need me to get down there with my tool belt and make some things happen?
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, sure, I would. Absolutely, I would.
We got all kinds of stuff to do.
Doug, this is your time.
Bring your lathe.
You got some finished carpentry work?
We do. We're putting in some windowsills right now. That would be great for you to do, or some mill work or, on the back bar.
Mill work. Yeah, I'd be good at mill work on the back bar.
That's your special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Countersink some screws and stuff like that.
Oh, that would be nice for the drywall.
Yeah. Yeah, drywall's all done.
Okay, good. Well, you don't need me for that.
If the drywall isn't done, 3 weeks is probably aggressive. So that's good that the drywall is done. Well, I'm glad to hear that your spirit certainly isn't even remotely close to being broken by what took place Saturday night. And more importantly, congratulations to you and your wife on your newborn. A tip of the cap to you. And I know all of our audience is looking forward to not only supporting the location on Del Mar, but also the new location on Hampton, sir. Thanks for calling in, Tom.
And congratulations on being so fertile.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much. If anybody needs help with that, just let me know.
Oh, nice, my God. Nice seed.
He's off in a Cuck Bros. Right. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
There he is.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
Tom Schmidt of Salt and Smoke.
I'll be darned.
Doug, you can't break his spirit.
No.
You can break his windows. You can't break his spirit.
Right.
So his spirit was lifted because people started cleaning up from the neighborhood.
That's what giving back to the community is about.
Well, that's what happens sometimes is that, you know, people think that we'll destroy this business. And then other people say, oh, no, you won't. We'll support it more than we ever have before. That's nice to see.
Yeah, people are out there yesterday dining less than 12 hours after the law happened.
That's good to see.
Doug, will you come by my bedroom with your tool belt? I have something that needs hammering. It's from the 314. That means.
Well,
might have been a floorboard or something.
I have both a ball peen and a claw hammer. He didn't specify which would be needed. I suppose the claw.
How do you know when it's time to use a ball peen, honestly?
How do you know? I don't think it ever really
is. You're the one that told me we didn't need extra security. When do you use a ball peen hammer, sir?
I don't own a ball peen hammer. I don't do any work around my house.
It's got that rounded into it. I don't know if that's used for pounding metal or what that's for, really.
Guys, Tom sounds like an awesome guy, almost like Tim, but he's nowhere near the awesomeness of Tim. Oh, Doug sucks, stop. Though. Thanks. Sad panda.
What does he think he's going to get from that? Do you think he's going to get a vote on it?
Well, he got a giggle from Tim.
Yes, he did.
That's a reward unto itself.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put a dollar value on that. All right, we got a break. Ben Fredrickson on the other side of the break, talking Cardinals, talking Missouri. Send your emails in. Hot Shots email today. The hipster leads Misty Plops and Matt, who bowls at Hank's here as we head down the stretch in September. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Design Air Heating and Cooling, 7 o'clock hour is in the books. Design Air, service.com. Design Air, the number one train deal, the most, it's hardest up train. This is Ryan Kelly.